Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location, one voice delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
And from the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. We're going to lead off tonight, a little different, with a writer who is he's the biggest writer at the biggest website in the world when it comes to gun stuff. He covers the entire spectrum of everything. Of course, you know who this is. This is, of course, Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. So let's lead off with this, because this is pretty funny, I guess. So what is the Michigan gun disposal list?
Well, in Michigan, they have a law that basically says that if you're going to get rid of guns and you're not going to sell them or keep them, this is just for police departments and sheriff's departments, that you turn them into the state police. And this is supposedly, you know, if you've already determined that this gun is not stolen, you can't find the owner or something like that, and you turn them into the state police. And then once a month, the state police publish a list of weapons that nobody has claimed. And most of them were confiscated in the course of crimes, or, you know, it could be somebody just dropped a gun off at the police department saying, I don't want this, or whatever. But they have these guns that they've got, most of them confiscated, and they send them in to the state police, and then the state police publishes a list of the firearms with the nomenclature that they know, you know, what model of gun, caliber, and they include the serial number. And they say, if this is your gun, contact us. But if you don't contact us, we're going to destroy these guns at the end of the month. Well, next month. They list them for a month. Now, they don't have to destroy them, it turns out, because I've read the statute.
Okay.
They could sell them, but for about 50 years, they've been destroying them because they didn't want to create controversy by selling them, I guess. So they end up destroying gratuitously. It costs them money to destroy these.
Well, but, and we haven't even gotten anywhere to the punchline, but let me ask you a question. How would anybody know if they sold them? Unless they get out there and publicize it, because wouldn't they be selling these, like, right here, you're talking
about? They do it like Kentucky does.
Yeah, well, they would sell them in lots, though, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they find some gun shop to come in and just buy them all at one time, or half of them, or something like that?
That's the simplest and easiest way to do it, and Kentucky does it, and they raise about $850,000 a year.
That probably goes into funding law enforcement without having to tax the taxpayer.
Exactly. In Kentucky, most of it goes for bullet-resistant vests. But they don't do that in Michigan because of tradition. The tradition is we destroy them. So they just continue to destroy them because they always have. I mean, it's utterly stupid, but that's the way it happens.
Gotcha.
So they published this list once a month. And I first wrote about it 6 years ago. 2016, I wrote an article about it. And I just in my researchers that came across it again. And I thought, you know, there's some research possibilities here because they published serial numbers. And they had 555 guns total on this list. And I said, well, how many ghost guns do they have? Whatever ghost gun means in the current nomenclature, but it seems to mean a gun that was made by somebody who doesn't have a serial number because it was just made by someone. You know, it wasn't manufactured by a major manufacturer is required by law to put a serial number on. So I looked at the 555 guns that were confiscated, and there were 33 guns that did not have serial numbers. And it's easy to tell by looking at them, because they give you a lot of information on this list, that 26 of those guns didn't have a serial number because they were never required to have a serial number put on them, because the federal government didn't get around to requiring that all guns have serial numbers until 1968.
Right.
So there's a fair number of guns out there. In this case, it was about 5% of the total number of guns they had confiscated didn't have serial numbers because they were never required to have serial numbers. And they were mostly 22 rifles and shotguns and a few pistols. So, then there were 6 guns that didn't have serial numbers because somebody had gotten rid of the serial number.
Right.
So that's 32 guns, 6 the serial number was gotten rid of, 26 they didn't ever have serial numbers to start with. And then there was 1 gun that somebody had made, something out of that pistol, looking it up, it appears to be a Glockish type, that somebody had made. So I guess that would be considered a ghost gun. So out of 33 guns that did not have serial numbers, there was 1 that was a ghost gun. And of the total number of guns, which are 555, which they'd never found an owner for, showing apparently that they couldn't trace them very well, there was only 1 ghost gun. And when you consider that there's somewhere between probably 400 million and 500 million guns in the United States, and at least a couple hundred million of those cannot reasonably be traced to anybody because they're old.
Right.
And they probably changed hands, and maybe the person who first bought them is dead. So what's the point of worrying about a few ghost guns, quote, ghost guns, homemade ones that are made each year, when we have hundreds of millions you can't trace anyway? That's my point.
Indeed.
And in this case, out of a selection of 555 guns that the police confiscated in Michigan, and this is 1 month sample, as we go along, we'll get more. I'm going to look at next month, too, probably. There's 1 that is the quote ghost gun. It's just a made-up problem. It's very similar to what happened with switchblade knives back in the 50s. Somebody decided to make a name for themselves by saying switchblade knives are the weapon of choice of criminal youth gangs, and if we just ban them, things will get better. Well, they had no data. There was no evidence that switchblades were any kind of a problem. And they just happened to put a couple of companies that imported switchblades and made switchblades out of business for no reason other than they were just making, you know, headlines to make a name for themselves. It was completely made up crisis. And that's what we're seeing with these so-called ghost guns. So the 2 things that I took out of looking at the Michigan program is, 1, they're wasting $500,000 a year, minimum, because they have to pay someone to destroy these guns. And there's several ways they could do this better, and the easiest would be just to offer them for sale. To say, you know, somebody make a bid on these, like they do in Kentucky. It takes almost no effort on their part, because they're already listing all the guns. So somebody just looks at the list and say, okay, I'll make a bid. That's essentially what they do in Kentucky, and it works well there. And they have to pay somebody to do all this. Well, they have to pay them either way. If they're going to destroy them, they have to pay them to make the list and track them and all that. And the same thing if they're going to auction them off. So that kind of cancels out. And then the other thing is, at least in Michigan for this month, those guns are a non-problem. And I would posit they're not a problem nationwide. This whole idea that tracing solves anything is just silly. It doesn't.
Hang on for me, if you will. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. ¶¶
such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At Z&A Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, Z&A Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. Z&A Precision, welcome to the Boom Squad.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. And we're gonna segue now. We're gonna go do something a little. It's fun simply because it especially since it sort of pokes fun at New York. So let's talk about the 1884 streetcars there, Dean.
Yeah. The way this happened is that I have some internet forums that I am busy on. One of them is called Free Republic, which is sort of a moderated conservative forum where people discuss interesting news items. And a colleague on there had posted an image of, it says, how an investigation instituted by a passenger on a New York streetcar brought a young woman to the front like a little man. And in it, there's about six passengers you can see, but only four of them are kind of out in the open. And all four of those have some type of pistol. Two of them look like they have maybe revolvers. The other two might be little pocket derringers or something like that. It's hard to tell. And this is not a photograph. It looks like it's probably some type of etching that was made for a paper. And I remembered seeing this image, and now we have a couple of court cases talking about whether public transportation should be considered a sensitive place where the government of, say, New York or Chicago can ban guns. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. If this is a scene relating to a news story or whatever, it shows that carrying handguns was pretty common on streetcars in New York at some time. So I was able to contact the person who posted the image and said, where did you get that from? And he got it from the Remington Historical Treasury of American Guns, published in 1966. So I got a copy of that little booklet, which is really, it has some fascinating stuff in it. It turned to be well worth a few dollars I paid for it. And then looking at it, I was able to trace the credit that they said that they got the image from the New York Public Library picture collection back in, you know, 65 or 66. So then I contacted the New York Public Library picture collection, which is a going concern, I will tell you. And they answered me quite quickly, and they said, gee, we couldn't find that picture in our collection, but we did find another picture that's almost a duplicate that was published in the National Police Gazette on April 19, 1884. So we know this image was probably first published at no later than 1884 and probably before that, because the image is slightly different. Like somebody took an image and altered it just a hair. You can tell it's the same image, but there's just little differences. Probably used a different technique in printing it. So I looked at that and I said, wow, this is only like 17, 18 years. Oh, not even that, but 16 years after the 14th Amendment was passed. And here it is in New York City. It turns out the location was right in Manhattan. It was at a place called Franklin Square, is where this was published. So it was published in Manhattan, and it was a New York City streetcar. And there's some streetcar tracks that go by that location, so we don't know if it was precisely there, but they published it, and there were streetcars in Manhattan. And most of the streetcars in Manhattan at that time, they were just on the verge of getting the first cable cars, so they probably didn't have them yet. But they had horse-drawn streetcars, which were public transportation. And they probably didn't have the electric streetcars yet either, because those came in just a few years later. And so here we have evidence that in a publication, a New York publication, at least in 1884, it's showing passengers on streetcars carrying pistols, and nobody's making any big deal out of it. So as a little bit of a follow-up, I contacted the attorney, the firm, that is working with Mr. Heller on challenging the ban on carrying firearms on the D.C. transportation system, the Metro, because I thought this image might be useful to them in showing that it wasn't accepted common practice that nobody should carry guns on public transportation, at least close to when the 14th Amendment was passed. And I was able to get a hold of them, and I sent them a copy of the picture and of a link to the article in Ameland, and they said it was well-received, and they were pleased that they had got it. Now, interestingly enough, in the New York Times on the front page in 1866, there was a speech published by Senator Howard, who was a co-sponsor of the 14th Amendment. And he says in the speech that the purpose of the 14th Amendment is to guarantee the personal rights secured by the first eight amendments of the Constitution, such as freedom of speech in the press, the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances, a right pertaining to each and all the people, the right to keep and bear arms. See, so for those who claim that the 14th Amendment was not meant to apply to the Second Amendment, we have one of the sponsors saying that's exactly the reason it was put up there. And he does it on the front page of the New York Times in 1866, just before, a little before by my reckoning, the ratification of the 14th Amendment in 1868. And he says, how will it be done under the present amendment? As I have remarked, they are not powers granted to Congress, and therefore it's necessary, if they are to be effectuated and enforced, as they assuredly ought to be, that additional powers should be given to Congress. And this is done by the fifth section of this amendment, which declares that Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. So, in New York, not far before and after the 14th Amendment, the Second Amendment was celebrated and exercised even on public transportation. I thought it was worth an article, and I think people will be, that's an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll be educated and entertained by it.
History.
And I'm hoping maybe there will be some people who know where there's other old pictures.
Yeah.
I know that people have told me about in the 1950s, of people who belonged to high school rifle teams in New York carrying their rifles to competitions on the subway.
Well, hang on for me. We're coming up on the next break. This article is like one of 2,000 plus that Dean has got written at amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
The left has hijacked our media, our culture, and our schools. Your children are taught to hate America. Your speech is censored. Your employer is woke, and you are being called racist. That's why I wrote a book showing you how to keep the left from dominating your life. The book is called Rules for Anti-Radicals, A Practical Handbook for Defeating Leftism. And it draws from my 28 years of grassroots leadership by empowering conservatives too often bullied into silence by the left. It's a comprehensive guide to beating leftism not only in politics, but in daily life. And it's not just for dedicated conservative activists, but also for anyone sick of getting beaten down by the woke mob. Whether it's your job, your school board, or your neighbors, you can win against woke. Get Rules for Anti-Radicals from Amazon or at rulesforantiradicals.com/radio. That's rulesforantiradicals.com/radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Home sales in August fell for the seventh straight month, and prices dropped from the prior month. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. This as the Fed Reserve is raising interest rates by 0.75 percentage point and signaled further large rises are likely as it combats inflation that remains near a 40-year high. An election transparency bill called the Disclose Act will be getting a vote in the Senate. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, says the bill will go against Americans' First Amendment rights.
The Democratic leader set up a vote to erode the First Amendment and make political speech more difficult. Instead of trying to address the root causes of their unpopularity, Democrats are attacking the American people's ability to speak out against them.
A vote expected on the bill later this week. USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. Talking to Dean Weingarten, and, Dean has a... He's got another bear article up. This is actually a realistic defensive shooting drills for bear attacks, which apparently is, so tell me about this. What is a realistic drill for a bear attack? Because bear's moving most of the time.
Well, sometimes and not always. What we see is that, what is touted as the most likely bear attack scenario isn't necessarily so. And I have been an instructor for, I guess it's not quite 50 years. And instructors, when they design drills for students, have particular lessons they're trying to impart to the students. And so, those who make the drills decide what they want, what message they're trying to put across. Now, very recently, I guess it's been a couple months now, we had the success of Eli Dickin in stopping a mass murder in the early stages in Indiana. Reportedly, with excellent marksmanship, 10 shots at 40 yards, and I think 8 of them hit the person who was trying to kill a lot of people and stop him. And so we have a bunch of people, numerous different instructors and commentators creating some form of a chicken drill of 10 shots at 40 yards. I thought about this phenomenon and thought maybe we could do something like that for bear defense. And I recall a bear defense exercise that was related to me by someone that I won't name, but let's say he designed this for a major state agency. And the bear was on kind of a cart and there was a cord going from the bear on the cart to the firing line and beyond it. And then when the instructor gave a signal, which was a secret signal, the person who was going to move the cart started running away from the line, and the bear, the quote bear, would charge toward the firing line at the same speed that the person was running away from the line because he was pulling the cart. And the terrain was not perfectly level, so the bear would go up and down a little bit too. So the trainer would prep the trainee, one to be tested to see if they could stop a bear, supposedly. And the trainee was armed with a pump shotgun with a sling. And they were allowed to have rounds in the magazine, but no round in the chamber. And the shotgun had to be slung on their shoulder with the safety on and the bolt locked forward. You know, on pump shotguns, when you pump it forward, the bolt will normally lock, and then you have a bolt release. Or, if you dry fire the shotgun, that'll release the bolt too. So, to engage the target, the trainee had to unsling the shotgun, disengage the bolt lock, work the action, disengage the safety, then shoot. Or, if he was a little more sophisticated, he could unsling the shotgun, disengage the safety, dry fire the shotgun, which would disengage the bolt lock, work the action, and then shoot. So once the shooter, the trainee, was in place, then the trainer would engage the trainee with a question or small talk or get his attention off of the bear. And then when the trainee was engaged somewhere else than the bear, the trainer would give the secret signal to start the bear charging. At which point, the trainee was supposed to go through all the motions to unsling the shotgun, unlock it, get safety off, get it pointed at the bear, and chamber around somewhere in there, and shoot. It's not surprising that very few trainees manage to hit the bear. So trainers can create a drill to obtain the effect they want to establish. And in this case, I think the trainer had the effect they wanted to establish was, if you're not paying attention and you have all these impediments to getting your shotgun in action, you're probably not going to be able to shoot the bear in time. So I decided to design what I would call some more realistic drills for bear defense based on actual life situations that I've written about and earlier that are historical examples. And as a way to show the realism or to make these a little more realistic, I recommended using a 12-ounce beverage can as a rough approximation of the shape and size of a bear's brain. So the idea is that you take a target that has a bear's head on it, and then you place the beverage can and you tape it or somehow arrange it in back of the bear's head, oriented like the bear's brain would be behind the bear from that behind the target in that orientation. And then you have the people trying to hit the bear's brain. So the first drill is what I call the Ralph Fletcher drill. And in 1960, there were three people having lunch. They'd flown in by a float plane to an Alaskan lake. And they're having lunch, and a black bear charged out of the brush and grabbed Frances Campbell. And her friend grabbed a stick and beat on the bear, so it dropped Frances, and then it charged at him, but it discovered the lunch and started eating the lunch. The other friend, Ralph Fletcher, went to the float plane, retrieved the .22 pistol from the float plane, walked to within a few feet of the bear, and killed it. So, here's the Ralph Fletcher drill. Set up your target with a 12-ounce soda hand simulating the bear's brain behind the visible target of a bear's head, preferably in this case, a side view. The shooter is unarmed, 5 feet from the target. The pistol is placed 30 feet away, loaded. On command, the shooter retrieves the pistol and returns to within 7 feet of the bear target. Once the 7-foot line is reached, the shooter has 15 seconds to shoot the bear in the brain. So that's the Ralph Fletcher drill. Then we have the Dussel Bacon drill. On August 13th, 1977, geologist Cynthia Dussel Bacon had been dropped off by helicopter. She was hiking along a narrow path on a ridge a few miles from the Salcha River, about 60 miles southeast of Fairbanks, Alaska. A small black bear, as she describes it, startled her with a crash in the brush. It appeared to her, staring at her, and anybody who's studied bear psychology realizes that that's a bad thing. When a bear starts staring at you, we call that a predatory stare. So it was about 10 feet away. She yelled at it. It didn't take offense. She pounded a rock with her hammer to make noise. It was not intimidated. She took a step back, which was also higher on the rock. The bear moved out of sight. A little while later, bam, it struck her from behind, knocked her down, and she had been told playing dead was the best strategy. So she did. She lost both of her arms. The bear ate them. And she survived because she was able, with her left hand, to get a radio out and tell people in a helicopter that she was being eaten by a bear. And they came around, and the helicopter scared the bear off, and they were able to get her to medical help. And later, the bear was killed.
Hang on for me right there. We'll finish this up on the other side because I want to hear this. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. We are speaking with Dean Weingarten. We're talking about this bear drill, this defensive bear shooting drill they've come up with. And he was talking about an instance where they actually, they were landing. I guess there was a helicopter and it was chasing a bear off and everything else.
Right. Yeah, this woman had been knocked down. The bear was actively eating her arm. She lost both of her arms. But before she lost her left arm, she was able to get a radio out and call a helicopter in, which eventually chase the bear away. Now, in the drill, which I call the Dussel Staken drill, we're not going to simulate a person having their arms eaten off by a bear, because if she was able to draw a radio from her pack, she probably would have been able to draw a pistol from a holster, too, and kill the bear before it ate her arms. But that's not what we're going to simulate. We're going to simulate what happened before, when she heard the crash and looks up and hears a black bear staring at her from 10 feet away. So the Dussel-Staken drill is this. Set up the bear target 10 feet from the shooter. The shooter has a holstered pistol. On command, the shooter has 10 seconds to draw and shoot the bear. I think a lot of people would be able to successfully complete that drill. The next drill is what we call the Cecil Rhodes drill. Well, that's kind of interesting because I've seen a few variations of this from time to time. In 1947, Cecil Rhodes was backpacking in Alaska. He had a .38 revolver. He was an avid photographer. It appears he was only carrying like 12 rounds altogether for that revolver. And a big grizzly bear approached him. He could see it coming. When it reached within 11 feet of him, he shot it in the head. And he deliberately aimed off-center because he was afraid the bullet would bounce off. Now, people who have studied bear anatomy realize that if you shoot off-center, you're very likely to miss the brain. Because, for example, the area right behind a bear's eyes doesn't have any brain in it. The bear's eyes are offset to the side a bit. The brain is in between them and a little lower than the eyes generally. So if you shoot off to the side, you're probably going to miss the brain. But it was close enough that it caused an effect. The bear, he said, slumped down, but it didn't collapse. Then it retreated. Then he heard cubs, realizing that it was a sow. Then the bear returned, but it didn't come directly at him. It sort of moved past him, but only 15 feet away. And he didn't shoot it, even though he had a clear shot at her head. And after that, the bear did not cause him any more trouble. So for this drill, the shooter is situated 20 feet from a bear target, head-on. 12-ounce can is placed behind the area where the brain is inside of a bear's head, in the orientation as it would be inside a bear's head, because that's roughly the size of a bear's brain. Now, a grizzly would probably be a little bigger than that, but for most bears, it's a close approximation. So the shooter, pistol in hand, starts about 20 feet away. Then he moves toward the 11-foot line to simulate the bear coming toward him. And then when the shooter reaches the line, they're to fire at the pistol at the bear head target. They have 3 seconds. So that's the Cecil Rhodes drill. Now I have one other that I thought was really interesting, and this is the Tanner Allen drill. On August 8, 2022, in Wyoming, Tanner Allen defended himself against a grizzly bear with cubs. After he missed a couple of times with his 41 Magnum in a chaotic situation and involving the dog, the bear, the cubs, all moving around.
I remember this one. I remember this story.
Yeah. I interviewed Tanner on this personally, and then somebody wrote in the comments about it, that doesn't sound realistic. That never happened. He just made that up. And then somebody wrote in the comments, well, if he made it up, it's consistent because he told me the same story a few days after it happened in so-and-so year in 2022. It's kind of funny. So the bear ran off, and he thinks, I better get out of this location. I don't want to have to be involved in a confrontation with a grizzly bear. So he starts climbing down a narrow chute on the mesa, you know, kind of like a crevice in the rock going down. And as he's descending this, he hears the bear, the dog, and the cubs all making a commotion. And the bear comes to the bottom of the mesa as a chute and starts coming up at him. So he moves a couple of feet to get in a more stable position. And he gets his pistol ready. And when the bear reaches within 2 feet of him, he fires his pistol at the bear's head, killing him. So for this drill, the shooter is started 50 feet from the target of the bear's head. And the target's obscured by a blank target 4 feet in front of it. And then there's a cord or some other means to move or pull down that blank target to reveal the bear target. And you have the 12-ounce soda can behind the bear's head target so you can tell if you hit the brain or not. So the shooter walks toward the blank target, pistol in hand, simulating the bear coming up toward him. And when he reaches the blank target, the trainer pulls or moves down the blank target out of his way so he can see the bear target, and he has 2 seconds to shoot at. So the purpose of these drills is to inculcate the necessity of shooting and killing the bear to stop the attack and to show that most bear attacks do not occur with complete surprise at extremely close range. In a large number of bear attacks, there's some warning. There's time to make ready. And it's important to know where the bear's brain is located inside a bear's head. Because lots of people have hit the bear in the head, but not hit the brain. And a lot of it is because they don't really realize where the bear's brain is located. But if you know where it is, you can aim at it, and you can hit it. And most handguns will penetrate a bear's skull and penetrate to the brain if they're aimed directly at the brain and not peripherally. And if you practice a little bit, it doesn't take that much. You can learn to draw and fire in under 2 seconds. And if you find it really hard, you probably need a different holster.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, we have this thing we call the tour drill, which is a human attacker where he's 21 feet away and he's got a knife and he's coming at you. And from 21 feet, he can cover that distance relatively quick. And unless you're really, really good, he's probably, if you're not moving and juking a little bit, he's probably going to stick his knife in your gut, even if you shoot him a few times. With a bear, do they actually get out there and say, okay, when they close in at this distance, you need to get ready to let loose?
Well, here's the thing. The Tuller drill has, I've taught Tuller drill on numerous occasions. And the thing about the Tuller drill is you start with a holstered pistol, and you don't draw the pistol until you actually see the opponent is 21 feet away, start to move toward you. You don't have those necessary things to slow you down with a bear. Once you hear the bear or think there's a bear close by, you get that pistol out. And that's something they teach in the tubular drill, too. Once you identify a threat, draw your pistol. Don't wait. And then once the pistol is drawn, that cuts down your reaction time by probably a second or maybe even a second and a half.
Right.
And so if you have a drawn pistol, it's not very hard to stop somebody who's trying to get at you from 21 feet with a knife. It's drawing the pistol that slows you down more than just about anything. So with a bear, what we find is that most of the time, there's some kind of warning. There's plenty of time to draw a pistol and get ready. By plenty of time, I mean 2 seconds. 2 seconds is all you need. Now, the reason that surprise attacks at very close range are considered to be more common, and they're not that common. They do happen. It's because those are the attacks that are successful at injuring or killing people. If a person has enough time to see the bear from a distance, they get ready and they kill the bear before it gets them, or they climb a tree, or they figure out some other way to get away. So we have what's called selection bias going on. If you only consider bear attacks to be those where the bear contacts the person, you're going to way oversample surprise close attacks. And that's what's been done in this firearms efficacy of firearms study that was done by Tom Smith and Stefan Herrero. When they were looking at incidents to study, they look for bear attacks where somebody was injured.
Well, we have run out of time. I was too much into that story. Thank you for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure.
We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.